your first thing.
What up, Danny?
What's up, man?
What up, Jenna? How are you doing?
Alongside Chris Kenny, that, my friends, is the happiest human on earth this morning.
Okay, there's about 400,000 Kansas Cityans feeling the exact same thing I'm feeling. What up, everybody?
Can't possibly as much. We heard about it all morning long. The wait is over for you. You must be on top of the world. You must just feel tremendous.
It's the top four greatest moments of my life. I got three kids. Those three, I should probably slide a wedding in there, but I don't know. Something's getting snubbed.
Listen, it's just as good as it gets. When I have my friends in my circle call me to ask how happy you're going to be, you know that it's going to be a great morning for Nick. This is not the morning to talk about how
Kenny
close your TVs are to where you're watching.
A Super Bowl ring. I now know exactly what he feels like.
Now, are you going to try to get a Super Bowl ring too from the Chiefs?
I assume
because you've been on the bandwagon all year long.
I assume they'll send me one.
Just saying.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Good morning, everybody.
I love it. All right, should we dive in?
Yeah, let's
we got
do it.
3 hours to make you feel really good.
Oh.
It has been a long time coming, but last night against the San Francisco 49ers, the Kansas City Chiefs did just enough to be crowned Super Bowl champs. Patrick Mahomes finished with 286 yards, two passing touchdowns, and a rushing touchdown, en route to a Super Bowl MVP. As for Andy Reid, it took his 222nd career win to finally win the big one, to finally hoist that Lombardi Trophy. Chiefs take down the Niners 31-20. We have a ton to unpack this morning. First things first, though, Nick, run us through the gamut of your emotions. Now,
as you mentioned, Jenna, we got 3 hours to break down the game, and here in a couple minutes, Canty will get us kicked off in that regard. I can't start breaking down the game because you're right. This is why we deal with, as sports fans, the years of heartbreak, and we invest and we watch shows like this and we pay for season tickets and we block out one of our two weekend days 20 times a year just for football, is because maybe one day it pays off. Listen, I'm 35 years old. I kind of remember Steve DeBerg as the Chiefs quarterback, but I really remember Joe Montana. And I remember Joe Montana taking the Chiefs to the AFC Championship game when I was a little boy and thinking, okay, this is what being a Chiefs fan is going to be like. And between Montana and Mahomes, there was Bono, there was Gerbach, there was Trent Green, who was good, there was Damon Heward, who was not, there was Tyler Thigpen, who was an abomination, there was Matt Cassel, who was frustrating, there was Alex Smith, who I like, but couldn't get you there. You had Marty Schottenheimer, you had Gunther Cunningham, you had Dick Vermeil, who had great moments, you had Herm Edwards, who I like, you have Todd Haley, who I was friends with, you had Romeo Crennel, who's a nice man, but that's about it, and then you had Andy Reid. After post-Montana, you had a game at home when you were 13-3 and you lost by three, when you missed three field goals, including one at the gun. You had a game in the fourth quarter when you had the lead after 13-3 and John Elway led the Broncos on a fourth quarter comeback. You had the no punt game. People know what that is. The Andrew Luck 28-point comeback game. The game against the Steelers where we scored two touchdowns, they scored zero and we lost. The Marcus Mariota touchdown pass to himself game. The D Ford game. And now you've got the Patrick bleeping Mahomes game, because he wasn't great until he absolutely had to be. And finally, after a Chiefs team that for 25 years had great defenses led by Derek Thomas and Neil Smith and Dale Carter, but no offenses, and great offenses led by Trent Green and Priest Holmes and Hall of Fame offensive linemen, but no defenses. Now you've got the greatest offense and the greatest quarterback in the world with a defense that has an uncanny ability to make really big plays in the most critical moments. And that, my friends, that, my fellow Kansas Cityans, is why for the first time in a half century, we're the champions of the world. And I am over the moon right now, Chris Canty. And now, Jenna, I don't know if that was any analysis whatsoever, but that's how I feel.
Now, just to peel back the curtain a little bit, Chris Canty walked into our morning meeting with a Super Bowl ring, having won a Super Bowl, looked at Nick and said, Congratulations.
Yes.
That's how you know how much this meant to Nick. All right, so Chris, can you break it down a little bit? How did the Kansas City Chiefs, in fact, win this game?
Well, it's a team that didn't flinch, and we talked about how the Kansas City had double-digit deficits in each of the playoff games that they had played coming into the Super Bowl, and they were able to overcome them. Now, typically, we see them do that with huge second quarters. They waited until the last possible opportunity to turn it on. And, Jenna, to me, what happened was Pat Mahomes being great. That dude right there, showing why he was the MVP from a year ago, showing how he's improved in terms of his football knowledge and then being able to execute in the critical moments of the game. I mean, shaking off the interception that he threw in the third quarter and the one at the beginning of the fourth quarter, and then to lead your team on three consecutive touchdown drives, being able to convert that third and 15 to Tyreek Hill, which was a huge play. And
the biggest play of the game.
The biggest play of the game. And coming into the game, I thought we would see more plays like that from Pat Mahomes because of the 49ers in their scheme playing that zone coverage, but that front for the 49ers was relentless in getting after Pat Mahomes, and I thought they had him rattled for the first three quarters, but this guy took over. He had a way of being able to slow down the game in that moment and ended up leading those touchdown drives, and to me, that has to be the story today.
Canny, to your point, that through 52 minutes of action, it was one of the worst games Patrick Mahomes has played as a pro.
Yeah.
Team had 10 points.
Easily the worst playoff game.
Without question, the worst playoff game. By an enormous margin, the worst playoff game. And if we were to line up all 36 games he had played, it would have been, with 8 minutes left, around 35th, maybe 34th. The Colts game comes to mind from earlier this year, but he was injured in that game. Mm-hmm. There was the Bronco game where he threw the left-handed pass last year, but he threw the left-handed pass and let him on a comeback. Like, he was, it's not only that, he wasn't hitting any big shots. The passes he was completing, it felt like, were a little off target. Guys who would have had room to run weren't getting there. The first interception he threw was a mistake he never makes. Yeah. Just didn't see a guy. And the second interception, I know people say Canny was off Tyreek's hands, but that was a bad throw by Patrick Mahomes.
It was behind him, and he had an in-breaking route. You can't do that. You miss over the middle of the field, bad things can happen. But he was able to shake that off. He didn't let that to take away from his confidence, and he had the ability to be able to make the throws when he had to. That throw that he made to Sammy Watkins was a dime when he beat Richard Sherman in one-on-one coverage. But to me, the story about that is that pass rush from the 49ers losing a little bit of steam late in that game. You could tell they looked a little bit aghast, and then Kansas City threw in the wrinkle of going with the no-huddle offense. And when you get completions and you're able to move the chains going no-huddle, you don't allow the defense to substitute. Most importantly, you don't allow the 49ers to get fresh pass rushers in there, and Pat Mahomes took advantage of that. So I think it's something to be said for a team that's this resilient, that didn't play well the first three quarters of the game, and then found a way at the end to win. That's championship caliber football, and that's why they're taking the Lombardi Trophy back to Kansas City.
Look, we have plenty of time to talk about what happened from the 49ers' perspective, but do you think that those first three quarters for Mahomes, was it that the moment was a little too big for him, that the nerves needed to be settled down, or was it what the 49ers were showing?
I think it was all the above. I think the moment we have seen in all of Patrick's playoff games, he gets off to a relatively slow start. All five of them, now with that slow start, sometimes just a series or two. Sometimes it's a quarter. In the Patriot AFC Championship game, was a full half. But those slow starts don't come with major process errors like the interception was. I do think the pass rush was getting to him. Nicky Bosa had that strip sack that I was worried about all week. The Chiefs were just fortunate enough to fall on it. But for the Chiefs, the story of this postseason is, after being down 24-0 in round two, their first playoff game, after being 10-0 to Tennessee, 20-10 to San Francisco with 8 minutes left, they finished those three games on combined 107-14 runs.
Wow.
Finished their first playoff game 51-7, second playoff game 35-7, and the bleeping Super Bowl with 7 minutes left, 21-0. That is how they did it, and the reason those players believed they could do it was because of number 15, and they delivered the ultimate football glory to their beloved head coach, Andy Reid.
Yep, for the Chiefs, three double-digit comeback wins this postseason en route to Super Bowl 54.
En route to three double-digit wins.
Kansas City's first Super Bowl in 50 years. Here is Niners head coach Kyle Shanahan after a very disappointing loss.
tough loss. It hurts everybody in our room losing a Super Bowl. We had opportunity to win that, and we came up short. They had three timeouts. It was 10-10. The last thing we were going to do was allow them to get the ball with three timeouts, especially with their quarterback and offensive speed, to go in there and score before half. Felt real good. 10-10, especially with us starting with the ball. Thought it played out all right. Thought we should have got points, but they ended up calling that PI on Kittle, so it took it away.
Chris Canning, can you place this blame on Kyle Shanahan?
I know a lot of people will want to blame Kyle Shanahan, especially after the collapse that he had in Super Bowl 51 as the play caller for the Atlanta Falcons. And the Patriots go on to make the biggest Super Bowl comeback in the history of the Super Bowl era. But in looking at this game, you could clearly see that Kyle Shanahan didn't trust Jimmy Garoppolo. That drive right before halftime, I mean, there was an opportunity for him to use one of three timeouts, not to let Kansas City run time off of the clock when they were getting ready to punt. He elects not to do it. You could see John Lynch in the booth upstairs trying to signal timeout. And the fact that he didn't get it done, I think that just shows that Kyle Shanahan had no visions of his quarterback trying to lead a scoring drive before the half. Even when they got the ball, he decided that he was going to run it. Now, they did have an opportunity for a chunk play to throw to George Kittle, but they ended up getting called for OPI because he extended with his arm.
And that even only happened because the Chiefs used a timeout.
That happened because the Chiefs used a timeout.
They were going to just run the clock down and take it into halftime if the Chiefs don't use a timeout.
100%. But I think in that moment, you saw that Kyle Shanahan clearly doesn't trust Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think he's justified just based on the last drive that they had an opportunity to actually get back in the game. I mean, you're down four. You get the ball back with 2:44. You end up getting the ball at midfield with 1:49 left. And then you have a sequence of plays. He throws an incompletion to Deebo Samuel. He has the one that's blocked down at the line of scrimmage by Chris Jones. Then he gets pressured on a blitz from Steve Spagnuolo in that Chiefs defense, throws it up to Emmanuel Sanders. And to me, that was the game. That was the throw that we are waiting to see if Jimmy Garoppolo could make under the rest in the big moment.
He's got him.
And he's got him wide open. He's got to step on those defenders, and he misses that throw. And in the next play, he takes a sack. It's a fourth down, which is inexcusable. And then you have a turnover on downs, and then Kansas City ends up scoring while they're trying to run out the clock. But to me, that was the moment that we were waiting on. That was the reason why Nick and I have been skeptical of the 49ers all season long. We didn't know that in the biggest moments whether or not Jimmy Garoppolo could deliver. And the whole story the entire week leading up to the Super Bowl was Jimmy Garoppolo was underrated as a quarterback. He's shown that he can come from behind. He got the highest
QBR. They just didn't need
He's got
him that
the
last
highest
game.
QBR in the fourth quarter when trailing. All of that stuff,
it's all nonsense.
We knew it was all eyewash. We knew it was all irrelevant because at the biggest stage the game has to offer, he could not deliver.
And so to your point, Canty, is Kyle Shanahan to blame for the Niners Super Bowl loss? Jimmy Garoppolo is more to blame, right? So, and just like the Falcons game, you can say, well, if this player picks up a block, if Matt Ryan doesn't fumble the ball, if there's these different things where players could have pulled Kyle Shanahan out of the fire, they didn't. I understand that. So he's not fully to blame. But there are two moments in this game that Kyle Shanahan failed his team. One you talked about. The end of the first half was a coaching travesty because the message it sends to every unit on your team is I don't trust you. It's not just the quarterback. If you call timeout with 1:40 left in the first half, you'll have two timeouts with the ball. If you just don't trust your quarterback, you can run the football. You have two timeouts, 1:40, might be able to get in field goal range. Probably not going to go the length of the field running the ball, but you can run the ball. And if the answer is, well, I don't want to run it, because we might then have to punt the ball back to Kansas City. Well, now the signal you're saying is, in addition to not trusting the quarterback, because I'm not calling timeout to let them throw it, not trusting the running game to pick up the yards, because I'm not calling timeout to let them run it, I also don't trust my defense to hold up if we do have to punt with 1 minute left, with Kansas City having a timeout or two in their pocket to stop them. That was indefensible. And I'm glad we got the John Lynch video, because now the Niners can't run from it. That was coaching malpractice. And then there was one moment in the second half that, much like, despite all the things that happened in the Atlanta Super Bowl, there's one play you circle and say, if you call the right play there, you win. After the Julio Jones catch on the sideline, you're up 8, you're inside the New England 25, there's inside of 4 minutes left, it's 2nd and 11. If you just run the football, you kick a field goal and you win the game. He said he called a pass play, ended disastrously. For the Niners in this game, it was after the Tyreek Hill 44-yard play when the Chiefs cut it to 20-17. In that situation, it is 2nd and 5. The Niners are up 3. They have just gotten 5 yards on first down. There's around 5 minutes left. And he calls a Jimmy Garoppolo pass play. And this happens, which then leads to a Jimmy Garoppolo pass play the next down, which also goes incomplete. As someone who was rooting incredibly hard for the Chiefs, I was begging, call a pass play. Don't continue to run it. You had just gotten 5 yards on first down. You have the lead in the fourth quarter. And now what Kyle Shanahan has to own is this. In Super Bowl history, there's only been one comeback of greater than 10 points. He was the offensive coordinator for it. There's been now 4 comebacks of exactly 10 points. He was the head coach for one of them. Mm-hmm. So the single biggest Super Bowl collapse and the next biggest Super Bowl collapse, he was the play caller for both of them.
Yep. Candy, let me ask you a question. Is there anything to the fact that Kyle Shanahan was just crushed for being too aggressive in that Super Bowl when he lost to the Patriots, way too aggressive instead of holding on to that lead, that he'd listened to so much of that leading up to this that maybe he flipped the page a little bit and was almost too conservative, at least at the end of the first half, saying, I'm not going to do what I did that time. I just want to hold on, go into halftime, tied at 10.
Yeah, well, you have to go out there and win the Super Bowl. You can't try to avoid losing the Super Bowl. So to me, that give-up drive at the end of the first half was one of those things that you look at and you say, that was a wasted possession, and I don't know that you can afford to waste possessions in the biggest game because there is no game next week. This is it. It's all over with. So, I mean, if you have confidence in your team, more importantly, if you have confidence in your quarterback, I think you're a little bit more aggressive. But to your point, maybe Kyle Shanahan overcorrected the driver just a little bit. Maybe he has that in the back of his mind and he says, you know what? I want to be a little more conservative because I was criticized for being too aggressive in Super Bowl 51.
But then in the fourth quarter, he made the exact same mistakes he made in Super Bowl 51. They were in 13 plays in the second half with the lead. They passed on 9 of them. You have 2nd and 5 with the lead. You are 6 first downs away. That's the math. 6 first downs away from being able to take knees. Probably not going to get 6 first downs. But you get a touchdown, the game's over anyway. You get a field goal with if you take time off the clock. Chiefs then have to drive the field. You cannot call a pass play on 2nd and 5 when you've just run for 5 yards with Jimmy Garoppolo as your quarterback. You can't do it because those are the things that happens. Like, these are the singular moments. And you do wonder a bit, that monkey's now off Andy Reid's back, right? The best offensive mind in football, but can't get it done in a big game. I wonder who can take that title. The best offensive mind in football, but game management stuff into games, neck gets a little tight. The collar gets a little tight. It's what it felt like to me yesterday, and I wonder what John Lynch is thinking this weekend, or this morning. Personally, probably feels like got snubbed on the Hall of Fame. Mm. Then he's begging his coach to call timeout. He doesn't do it. They can't hold on to a 10-point fourth quarter
lead.
Listen,
if Shanahan really doesn't trust his quarterback, they got problems because he signed a 5-year, $137 million contract. He's their guy for a while. All right, well, with the Chiefs' victory comes the 49ers loss. The question going into the game was whether Jimmy Garoppolo could carry San Francisco to a win. And the Niners quarterback almost did, coming up just short. Finished 20 of 31 with 219 yards, 1 touchdown, but with 2 costly interceptions. Here is Garoppolo after the disappointing loss.
It's an unreal feeling, something I've never felt before. I'm sure none of these guys have felt before. That, you know, the one positive you could take out of it is guys care about it. Guys care about each other. Guys care about this organization. You know, a lot of good came from this year. It's hard to look at it right now and see that good, but, you know, a couple days down the line, you know, maybe look back and, you know, look back on it a little bit.
All right, Nick, put a grade on Jimmy G's performance in the Super Bowl.
Oh, a D, and it's being generous. If in college you missed the first week of class and then you skip the final, doesn't really matter how you do in the intervening 3 months. Jimmy G started the game terribly. The first drive, they could have gotten 7 at stalls because of a failed pass, failures in the passing game. The second drive, he throws a horrifying pick. The exact pick we were talking about all week long, all weeks long, about why Jimmy G is good, but there's a yeah, but with him. And then at the end of the football game, he was abysmal. After being sensational in that middle section, final 12 minutes, he was 3 of 11, 36 yards with a passer rating of 3.
3. He after the Mahomes pick, they put the ball in his hands on 2nd and 9. Up 10. Chance to win the Super Bowl. Incompletion. Put the ball in his hands on the next play. It's 3rd and 14 after a false start. Maybe he had someone open downfield. I don't know. I know he took off running like you needed 3 yards instead of needing 14 yards. He got 3 yards. Next possession, 2nd and 5, they put the ball on his hands, batted down. 3rd and 5, ball in his hands. Kittle open. Kittle wide open. Doesn't throw to him. Now the Chiefs have the ball. Now the Chiefs have the lead. Okay, Jimmy, 1st and 10, 49-yard line. Super Bowl in your hands. First pass, batted down. Second pass, damn near picked. I mean, just watch the sequence. The situation everyone dreams for. Down 4, chance to win the Super Bowl. Second pass, oh boy, that's almost picked. Third pass, we've got a guy. It's going to win. Oh, that's 6 yards overthrown. And 4th down, just go ahead and take the sack. And then that insult to injury when the Niners had, I don't know, a 2% chance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, get the ball, kick a quick field goal, onside kick, something like that. He throws a pick to end the game. It was exactly, Canty, what you were worried about would happen. If the game is in Jimmy Garoppolo's hands, what does he do? So, no, he was bad. He was great in the middle, but he was bad in the beginning, and he was unspeakably bad late.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I give him a D on his performance, and the only reason it's not an F is because his team had a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, he had a 13-15 stretch when he was playing
well. But he had two opportunities, to your point, Nick. I mean, your defense gets a turnover for you, and you can't do anything with that drive. And then after the Kansas City Chiefs have their first scoring drive in the fourth quarter, your team goes 3 and out. Like, to me, if you're a championship-level quarterback, you're going to have some productivity in order to be able to close out the game. And that's the one thing that we've said about this 49ers team. Once they get the lead and they have the benefit of being able to rely on the run game and then play action, then this team was going to be able to finish the drill, and they just couldn't get it done. And Jimmy Garoppolo was good in play-action passing situations, but the fact that he couldn't get his offense to be productive in those critical moments in the fourth quarter, I think it's an indictment on him as a player.
But is this who Jimmy Garoppolo is?
Yes.
Or was this Jimmy Garoppolo, because you saw what he could do in the middle of the game, or is this Jimmy Garoppolo, maybe, again, those bright lights were really, really bright last night?
Of course, but we've seen what he can do throughout the season. He can make some great throws. And listen, the one throw that didn't count was probably his best throw of the night, the pass to Kittle.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great, but by the way, his coach didn't even want him to be in that position. His coach trying to run the clock out. It's only because the Chiefs called timeout he was even in that position. But we don't know if Jimmy Garoppolo can avoid the just what was that throw. And I know what happened early, but that interception early was huge. The Chiefs defense was not playing great.
And he knew it, too. You saw it on Garoppolo's face.
It was terrible. His eyes were closed. Literally.
That was the chuck and duck right there. When Chris Jones hit him, he just threw the ball up, and Breshad Breeland made the play.
And could have gone 6. If Breeland has a little more spatial awareness, this could have been a pick 6 the other way. But so I understand at one point it looked like Jimmy Garoppolo was going to be the Super Bowl MVP. He was, I think, 18 of 21 at one point. He had gone 13 of 15. But then what were the final? Show the two quarterbacks' final 12 minutes. After Mahomes was having maybe the worst game of his career and Garoppolo was having maybe the best. Okay.
The guy
on the right is a super-duper star legend. The guy on the left is a guy who his own coach is like, minute 40, into the first half?
Nah.
Don't know if I want to put the ball in his hands. That's who he is. And Niner fans, with respect, it's who we were telling you he was all week. And you were throwing all these stupid numbers at me. Oh, but what, when down 7, he's the best quarterback in football. Oh, the drive after he throws a pick, he's better than anyone. And God knows he had a bunch of those opportunities this year after he threw a pick. Nonsense. You know guys who have it and don't. And right now, maybe he will one day. Right now, Jimmy Garoppolo don't have that stuff.
No, he doesn't. And we said that he was that quarterback. You can win with him, but every other area of your team has to be above average to excellent. And that's what the 49ers had. And I think that's why they had a lead, because they were relying on their defense and their offense to be a compliment. But I said it leading up to the big game. At some point, your quarterback is going to have to make a throw.
Yep.
And Jimmy Garoppolo could not make a throw. When he didn't have the benefit of being able to use play action to manipulate the defense,
Bingo.
He struggled as a quarterback. And we saw it when he was under duress, when he was pressured, he was 1 of 9, and he had 2 interceptions. That's the part of it that tells the story about who he is as a quarterback. We saw Mahomes under duress, and yes, he made some mistakes, but he also had some moments of greatness, and none bigger than the opportunity to have the ball down three and to lead your team on a scoring drive.
First and 10 at midfield, all your timeouts, 2 minutes to go be a legend. And he had a pass batted down. He almost threw a pick. He overthrew a touchdown. He took a sack. Listen, man, that's how sports work. It's just maybe he shouldn't have been in that position. Some better play calling early. He had a chance to go be a legend. Instead, he let the actual legend on the field take his place.
And for 49ers fans waking up this morning, this is their guy for a while. Moving on to the Kansas City Chiefs now. For the third straight game, Patrick Mahomes had to play hero. That is because for the third straight game, Chiefs had to mount a comeback. Last night, the reigning MVP and now Super Bowl MVP Mahomes rallied KC from a 10-point fourth quarter deficit, rattling off 21 unanswered points. The Chiefs hoist their first Lombardi Trophy in 50 years. Here is number 15 after another comeback win.
Obviously, I've had a good start to my career. I mean, I've been blessed to be in a great organization with a lot of great players around me. That makes my job a lot easier, but I know it's going to take a long time of consistency if I want to be where I want to be at in the end. And I'm lucky enough that I just have a lot of great people around me that I have a chance to go out there every single year and compete.
Nick, he's right. He's lucky. He got placed into a great system with a great coach, with great weapons, and an entire sort of team around him built towards his strengths. That being said, he's fantastic.
Yeah.
What is Mahomes' ability to rally the Chiefs say about him, not just on the field, but getting those guys in the right mindset off of it as well?
Listen, Chris Canty, he is already one of the greatest clutch performers in NFL history. Already. We look at Tom Brady's legendary comebacks. Of active quarterbacks, only Brady has him trumped in double-digit playoff comebacks. He's played for 2 years. 2 years he's done it. He's already top five all time in double-digit playoff comebacks. He's played five career playoff games, okay? The first one, they crushed Indy. You know what I mean? The game was never in doubt. The second one, they're down 14-0 at the half. They're down 10 points against New England entering the fourth quarter. They took the lead in that fourth quarter. Defense gave it up. They took the lead again. Defense gave it up. He drove them down for a field goal in the final 30 seconds and then doesn't take the field in overtime because of a coin flip. His third playoff game, they're down 24-0. He enters with a 51-7 run. His fourth playoff game, they're down 10-0. He enters with a 35-7 run. And his fifth playoff game, the Super Bowl, they're down 20-10 with 8 minutes left. He is having the worst game of his career. And he enters with a 21-0 run. Canty, he's at this point a Frankenstein's monster quarterback. He's got Rodgers' arm. He's got Elway's toughness and escapability with Brady's clutch gene. Check, check, check. The best arm I've ever seen, the best sense of the moment I've ever seen in toughness, and the most clutch player I've ever seen. He's all three of those guys rolled into one. That's how you become a legend after 36 career games.
Yeah, this performance that he had in the fourth quarter shows me that he's the best quarterback in the National Football League, and he's arguably the best player in the National Football League. I mean, to have three double-digit comeback victories in three consecutive postseason games. We've never seen that before in the NFL. So the fact that he's capable of being able to do that, I think that speaks to his competitive greatness. John Wooden, in my opinion, the greatest coach that's ever lived, had that pyramid of success, and at the top of it was competitive greatness. Being at your best when your best was required. The Chiefs waited till the absolute last moment that they possibly could to mount a comeback, and then that guy out there, Pat Mahomes, he went out there and did it. And his teammates believe he could do it because they'd seen him do it before. Confidence comes from demonstrated performance. This guy has done it routinely. They've shown that they have the ability to put up big quarters. I mean, they've had 8 quarters this year where they've had 17 points or more. The next closest team is the Dallas Cowboys with 5.
Wow.
And in 2 of those instances came in the playoffs. So, I mean, that just shows how good Pat Mahomes is and how explosive this offense can be, and which is why Nick and I felt really good about the Kansas City Chiefs coming into this season because their offense gave them multiple pathways to be able to win, but it all starts and ends with Pat Mahomes playing great, and he played great yesterday in the
Nick,
fourth quarter.
Nick, he's 24 years old. He doesn't turn 25 till September. Mm-hmm. The fact that you could rattle off everything you just did at 24 years of age to have that poise, that confidence, and then clearly that skill set is remarkable.
There's two players prior to Mahomes in American team sports history that his experience in the pros and his age have a resume comparable. One is Jim Brown. Jim Brown, his first 2 years in the NFL, was instantly the best player in the NFL. MVP, made it to a championship game. They didn't win it, but he's a running back. Can't really blame him. His team didn't win it. The other is Lew Alcindor turned Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Moment he walked in the league, he was top three player in the league. By year two, he was the best player in the league. He won a finals MVP and an MVP and a championship in his first 2 years. Now it's Patrick Mahomes. Year one, he quarterbacks one of the five top scoring offenses in the history of football and has one of the five single greatest seasons from a quarterback position in the history of football. Year two, as a starter, he executes in his first playoff game the fourth greatest comeback in playoff history. He executes in his third playoff game, the Super Bowl, the second greatest comeback in Super Bowl history. And he now has more touchdowns in a single postseason than any player ever with 12. That's what he's done. He's played 36 games. I'm not saying he's the greatest of all time. I'm saying is, if someone were going to become that, their career would start something awful like this.
Well, I'll tell you what, he's about to be the richest of all time.
Oh.
I mean, Clark Hunt was talking about how they want to get that deal done in the next 12 to 15 months. I have a hard time seeing Pat Mahomes not being paid what he's worth before his 25th birthday.
At the beginning of the game last night, they celebrated the top 100 players all in the red jersey, the greatest players in NFL history. And right before you tweeted, I said, I bet you could see, easily, you could see Patrick Mahomes out there. You tweeted it five seconds later.
It was a shame that Mahomes was playing. He couldn't be
exactly.
Couldn't be out there with those other ones.
Said the same thing and is better.
What do you think he says? 5 years, $200 million, fully guaranteed. Sign it. Sign up for it right now.
Right. Back here, first things first, we are now joined this morning by former All-Pro running back Eddie George. Good morning, Eddie.
How are you doing,
Eddie?
Good
morning. Doing well.
Great
seeing you, man.
Huh?
Seeing you.
Great to have you. So much to break down and discuss from the game last night. Why don't we dive there right now? How did the Chiefs beat the 49ers? We'll take you back down to Miami for that. Jimmy Garoppolo, Patrick Mahomes, a lot of pressure on those two. Jump to the fourth quarter. Chiefs in pretty familiar territory, trailing again, this time down 10. Patrick Mahomes connecting with Tyreek Hill for 44 yards on the play. Four plays later, finding Travis Kelce. That's a one-yard touchdown. He's happy. Mahomes is happy. KC pulls within three. Jump to under 4 minutes left. Chiefs driving. Mahomes this time to Sammy Watkins for 38 yards, and then three plays after that, it's Mahomes and Damian Williams connecting for the five-yard touchdown, puts Kansas City up 24-20. The 49ers would get one last chance to get back in this. Jimmy G trying to find Emmanuel Sanders deep, but he overthrows him deep. Next play, fourth down. Let's get this. Jimmy G would get sacked. Turnover on downs. Jimmy with just 219 yards on the night to go along with two costly turnovers. And then two plays later, Damian Williams busting the game wide open here. A 38-yard score to help the Chiefs win it 31-20, giving KC their first Super Bowl in 50 years. Eddie, we expected a close game. We got a close game. What do you think? Did the Chiefs win it or did the 49ers lose this one?
You know, I was on the fence with this one. I think the Chiefs won this one. I mean, we've seen this from them all playoffs.
Every game.
Single game against Houston, the Titans. I was at that game, actually. And to watch how they did it again in the fourth quarter with Patrick Mahomes on the line, not playing great in the first half, could have easily imploded, could have easily gotten caught up in the moment and really been rattled and faltered on that moment. But he was able to come out and make the necessary plays to be the MVP and find a way to win the game. So the Chiefs did it their way as usual.
Well, and you mentioned could have imploded. I got to be honest. I thought he was a little bit. When a guy has never thrown an interception in his playoff career and in the Super Bowl while trailing, throws an interception on consecutive drives,
You were a little worried, like, one of the elements of the Super Bowl you always hear about is that long halftime. Mm-hmm. And he went, I think it was 56 or 46 minutes mm-hmm. between times touching the ball. And the first possession where he touched the ball after halftime, he threw a pick. And it was a real process error. It's like there's a guy right there. He never makes that mistake.
Behind him, yeah.
And then, well, the second one he throws behind him. Mm-hmm. The first one he just throws short. Yep. And then the next drive, he throws another pick.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, man. Like, this is, I'm now going to have to deal with a year of people saying, yeah, but with Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what about that Super Bowl? And then it still wasn't looking great when they got the ball back. Mm-hmm. First down, incomplete. There's a false start penalty. Second down, incomplete. You're at third and 15 now. Third and 15, down 10, 7.5 minutes left. And from that moment forward, he was perfect. From that moment forward, he hits Tyreek Hill on a what looked like an 11-step drop. He's just going backwards and backwards and backwards for Tyreek to get open. That was on third and 15. On third and 10, when they need a touchdown, he hits Kittle, yep. and they end up calling a pass interference penalty. The next drive, he has the Sammy Watkins play we showed you. And then I don't know if you noticed the Damian Williams play. That was third and 5 yeah. as well. They would have had to, if that's incomplete, they have to kick a field goal. You got to kick a field goal in that spot, tie the game. He was absolutely perfect after, for 52 minutes, was the worst game of his career.
Which is remarkable for a guy to be 24 years old, first Super Bowl, and that pressure situation to come out and make those plays was tremendous. And the Tyreek Hill play, well, that set everything off. That was their first play over, what, 20 yards the entire game. A team that's used to scoring at will, 70-yard mm-hmm. throws, 60 explosive plays all over the field. That was just really remarkable by Patrick Mahomes. So the Chiefs definitely won that game.
Yeah, to me, the Chiefs won that game, mm-hmm. too. I mean, I don't think that you can lose games like this. I think the other team has to take it from mm-hmm. you. They have to go out there and make the plays. And a lot of people in sports, you know, they have to realize that games are going to go back and forth. There are going to be momentum swings. Teams are going to face adversity. We saw that. The Chiefs had, what, a 10-3 lead, and then the 49ers go out and mm-hmm. score 17 straight points. And then the Chiefs have 3 consecutive touchdown drives. So, I mean, it went back and forth. But at the end of it, you trusted Pat Mahomes, if he had the ball and the opportunity, that he was going to be able to go out there and make some plays. And that's exactly what he did.
Make the case, though, for those who say that the 49ers lost this
absolutely.
Game.
Listen, you have a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter with the ball. You have a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter with the ball when you are theoretically the exact type of team that is built to take advantage of that.
Yes, yep.
Let's pull to your career for a bit. Mm-hmm. You guys were, and you, by the way, Steve McNair is better quarterback, the late, great Steve McNair, than Jimmy Garoppolo. So it's not like you guys couldn't come back if you were trailing. But the Chiefs are a team built to come from behind. The Niners are a team built that if we get the lead, we are going to choke you to death.
Yes.
And you were in that circumstance. And by the way, okay, so the first time you have the lead after the Mahomes pick, not the first time you have the lead, but when you have the ball up 10, that drive ends poorly, so be it. Chiefs get a touchdown. But now you've got the lead, there's less than 6 minutes left. Uh-huh. You're up 3. You run the ball on first down, you get 5 yards, and you don't run it again? You don't have a substantial run the entire rest of the football game, Eddie?
Yeah, and they were gashing the Kansas City defense. They were able to get some runs with the perimeter runs on the outside, hitting them in the middle with the power game. And to your point, that's 49er football, is when you put your foot on their throat, they're going to crush it. And for Jimmy G, they didn't protect him enough with the run. They should have continued to run the football, allow him to rely on the play action game, because he was making a lot of mm-hmm. decent throws when the play action was effective with the run game. But they got 49ers best shot. They were able to, on defense, they were able to get a 4-man rush to Patrick Mahomes, really disrupt his flow. They were able to run the football. They were okay on third downs. But they didn't finish the job by not running the football effectively enough for Jimmy G to win that game, to close the game out.
Which is really surprising, because in the fourth quarter, when you have a double-digit lead, the game is no longer against the Chiefs. The game is against the clock. And you got to try to run the football, and that's the strength of your offense. Your offensive strength isn't your quarterback dropping back to pass, you know, on second and short or third and short. You have to be aggressive mm-hmm. with your run game and try to pound it. And you had success running the football in the first 3 quarters, and you got away from it. To me, that didn't make any sense. You left the door cracked open for the Chiefs to take advantage of it. But I still say that the 49ers had opportunities, and the Chiefs stepped up when they needed to, both sides of the ball, not just offensively, but defensively, being able to to get stops when they needed to. So you got to give credit where credit is due. I believe that the Chiefs took that game from the 49ers.
So quickly then, would you put this on Kyle Shanahan? Was he the one that
Listen, Kyle Shanahan at the end of the first half, it's a travesty.
Yeah.
You can't make, you are showing a lack of faith in every unit on your team. Your quarterback, because you don't want to run a drive. Your running backs, because you could have just run the ball and gotten in field goal range, theoretically. And your defense, because the real reason you don't want to even just run the ball and try to go score, you call your timeout, give yourself a minute 40, is, well, if we have to punt, can we stop them? And I thought the play I mentioned, Eddie, after the first down run, first and five, not running the ball again, second and five, 5.5 minutes left, is a killer. But I know, to give credit, Candy, you said something before the show, I think it's worth the audience understanding. You loved the Steve Spagnuolo blitz call on third and 10 because it was, you said, what did you say before the show?
Somebody's band is going to play. If you're going to blitz, you're either going to get home or they're going to score. It's going to be a big play, and they'll probably lead to them scoring quicker, which means you would get the ball back with over a minute left with the MVP.
With almost 2 minutes left.
With former MVP Pat Mahomes. So to me, it just made sense on third and 10 and fourth and 10 to send the blitz, get after him, see if you can get home. And it paid off for him because it forced that incompletion on the one where Emmanuel Sanders was wide open, and then you get a sack to force the turnover on down. So to me, that was brilliant play calling by Steve Spagnuolo. Probably doesn't get enough credit, but you held the 49ers to 20 points.
Right.
I mean, that's their lowest output during this postseason. So I looked at it from the standpoint that Kansas City, both the coaching and the players executing, made the necessary calls, made the necessary plays in order to win that game and take it from the 49ers. That's why I can't say that the 49ers lost more than the Chiefs won.
What do you think, Nick? Is this the beginning of a dynasty for the Chiefs?
It's absolutely how a dynasty would start. You get close the year before, you show all the makings of a champion, have a little bad luck go against you. You use that experience to overcome massive odds against you in each of your three playoff victories. And by the way, enormous adversity during the season. Patrick Mahomes suffered a major knee injury midway through this year. And I'm going to do it again like I did 2 weeks ago. Shout out Matt Moore, who won that game against the Vikings without Patrick Mahomes, a playoff team. Won the game against the Broncos, the game Mahomes went out. If he doesn't do that, none of this happens. The Chiefs don't get the bye. The whole world is different. Listen, I thought the Seahawks were going to start a dynasty. I was like, man, you got a young quarterback. He's a star. You got an excellent coach. You got all these players around him. And, with 59 minutes and 30 seconds left in their next year's Super Bowl, it looked like, this is going to be a dynasty.
Still hand the ball off that play called by Darrell Bevell. I still don't get that.
And so sometimes things look like they're going to be dynastic, and they're not. But what the Chiefs have is the best player in the league by an enormous margin. Mm-hmm. He's 24 years old. One of the three best coaches in football. And Tyreek Hill is locked up. Travis Kelce is locked up. Frank Clark, Tyrann Mathieu are locked up. My guy Chris Jones, I don't know if they're going to be able to lock him up. Sammy Watkins probably going to be gone. So there'll be changes. Mm-hmm. But the question I would ask is, if I were to ask America right now, set the over-under on Patrick Mahomes' career Super Bowls, career, at 2.5, anyone comfortable taking the under?
No.
Because three Super Bowls, if you win them in close enough successions, a dynasty. I mean, I think he's going to get a handful of rings, and the real question is how many?
It is a big question of how many. This is the Patrick Mahomes era. Yep. The 20s are his. And I'm going to say he gets at least four because he is 24 years old. The question is, will Andy Reid be a part of that?
Mm.
You know, he's 62 years old. He talked about the amount of games he's won, well over 222,
yeah, exactly
15
right.
winning seasons, only three losing seasons for Andy Reid. The fact is, now Andy missed, all he missed was a Super Bowl ring. So does he want to jump in the studio and live life and travel the world, or does he want to continue to build a dynasty? So I'm curious to see if he's going to be married to Andy Reid and who that guy is going to be, and also Steve Spagnuolo. That defense was, they won when they had to. Wasn't dynamic in terms of, statistically speaking, making great stops here and there, but they won when they had to. So a lot of things, a lot of factors go into a dynasty, but it all starts with Patrick Mahomes. But I'm going to say Andy Reid goes with the ride, and he wins at least three.
Yeah, if you got a good coach and a good quarterback in this league, you're going to have a chance to overcome some roster deficiencies. So, yeah, even though they're going to have to go out and pay Pat Mahomes over $35 million a year, with a new contract extension, I think that the money is worth it because he makes everybody else around him better. Yep. And your coach's job is a lot easier. I think for the first time in his career, Andy Reid has a quarterback where he can use the entire playbook that he has. The entire arsenal is available just because of the physical talent.
Which makes it easier for Andy
Reid. Along with the football IQ of your quarterback. So to me, this is an opportunity. The window is wide open for the Kansas City Chiefs, and I just have a hard time seeing Andy Reid walking away anytime soon just based on how special Pat Mahomes is. I mean, look at Bill Belichick.
Exactly.
When he won three Super Bowls in Tom Brady's first four years as a starter, I'm sure he wasn't saying to himself, okay, now is the right time for me to walk away in my coaching career.
He didn't think it was the right time to walk away when he won three Super Bowls in Tom Brady's last 5 years as a starter.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. He goes on, he's 15 plus years in New England. So I could see Andy Reid deciding to stick around for the long haul with Pat Mahomes. And they have a relatively young team. He loves the group of guys that he has to work with. He said so much in the post-game press conference. So I just feel like they have an opportunity to keep this pushing.
And if they can figure the salary cap out, look at the core they have. Tyreek Hill. Mahomes is 24. Tyreek Hill, Chris Jones are 25. Frank Clark is 20. There's so much. 26. There's so much optimism on this team. It's a young team.
Yep.
If they could keep that core together somehow, they could in fact be a dynasty.
And again, the Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Frank Clark, Tyrann Mathieu, and Patrick Mahomes are 1,000% on the team next year.
Yep.
They're all locked up. No matter the contract they get, they're not moving on from any of those guys. Chris Jones is a question mark. Sammy Watkins could be a cap casualty, and he said he might take a year off. He's like, I might take a year off from football. To your guys' point about Andy Reid, all three networks, Fox, NFL Network, everybody was doing different post-game shows yesterday. So you saw a bunch of guys do same interviews on different places. Travis Kelce on one of the spots, I don't remember which, said, we got Andy a ring. Now he's married to us for life. And his point was, we don't want Andy to ever go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what Andy will choose to do. He's obviously had tragedy in his life.
Right.
He obviously has dedicated so much, and now he's done everything. But Andy himself said he's back next season at the very least.
Mm-hmm.
And you do just wonder, this perfect marriage where the players adore him, where he, one of the most brilliant offensive minds ever, finally has a quarterback that unlocks everything he's ever wanted to do. Why would you walk away when it's the best it's ever been?
Well, you never know what the guy's thinking.
Sure.
I mean, you know, you talked about the tragedy in his life. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's time to say, you know what, let me enjoy the fruits of my labor.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe say, let me go out while the iron is hot on top. You know, you never know what he's thinking. And look at his age, he's 62. I mean, he's not a sprung chicken. He's not necessarily old. He's still a young man, relatively speaking. But, you know, in the next couple of years, he might go on a run. He might get close. He might get burnt out from it. You never know what he's thinking. So that's why I say it really depends on Mahomes and who he's married to.
Uh-huh.
Because the Belichick-Brady situation is historic and epic on all levels. And that's something I don't think we'll ever see. So I just don't know, in terms of the age of Andy Reid and the youth of Patrick Mahomes, how long that run is going to go, whether it's 4 years, 3 years, a decade. I mean, Andy Reid will be 72 by 2030. So at some point, he's going to say, you know what, maybe enough is enough. And will Kansas City get the right guys in place and so forth to succeed them. So that's why
they got a heck of an in-house candidate in Eric Bieniemy.
Yes.
If for some reason Andy Reid does walk away and he doesn't take Eric Bieniemy, doesn't take a job elsewhere. But to me, the only things that would make Andy Reid walk away would be family and health.
Exactly.
Outside of those things, I just don't see him walking away from this team, because it sounds like he loves those guys and it sounds like he has a special relationship with Pat Mahomes. Let's do it, Jenna.
24-year-old Patrick Bleepin' Mahomes.
There you go, Bleepin' Jenna.
Mahomes.
I've been waiting for you to say that all year.
Took home Super Bowl MVP honors last night. Finished with 286 pass yards, 3 total touchdowns. He did have 2 interceptions, though. Chris Candy, you in or out on Mahomes deserving to win Super Bowl MVP?
Jenna, I'm out. And even though Pat Mahomes was spectacular in the fourth quarter, I mean, the first three quarters was probably the worst I'd seen him play all year. It was touch and go for a moment there at the beginning of the fourth quarter. So I got to go with Damian Williams, over 130 yards from scrimmage, two touchdowns, made the critical plays when they needed them, including that conversion on fourth down early in the game on that touchdown scoring drive. So Damian Williams, to me, would be Super Bowl MVP.
You are out. Eddie.
I'm in. I mean, listen.
Not MVP, going with the running back.
No, like absolutely it, not. MVP is not about statistics. It's about shining in the biggest moment. Yes, he faced adversity early in the game, could have imploded, could have walked away from it, but he stayed with it, found a way to win, made some big throws. And it's all about leadership, defining moments, inspiring your team, and willing your team to victory. So, yes, he is the MVP.
I'm in. It ties. It was very, very close. Ties go to the person Nick Wright bet on. I had a major financial investment on Patrick Mahomes winning
That's why you had
me. And here's the other thing. Damian Williams, I don't think really would have been in the discussion had he done technically what he was supposed to do, which is go down after getting the first down on what ended up being the 38-yard touchdown run. I don't begrudge him at all for going for getting the touchdown, but the numbers inflated a bit at the end. Mahomes made the biggest plays of the game to give them the lead. I'm in on Patrick Mahomes winning it.
All right, on to the losing side. Many wondered if Jimmy Garoppolo could carry the Niners to a win, but Jimmy G fell just short, finishing with 219 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. So, Candy, you in or out on Garoppolo as the Niners' franchise quarterback moving forward?
Jenna, I'm in. I mean, they're paying him $27.5 million a year. It seems like a bargain in today's NFL now that we're 2 years removed from when they gave him the contract extension. But, yeah, I'm in on Jimmy Garoppolo being your quarterback for the future. I don't want to overreact to what happened yesterday. I mean, listen, your team was still in the Super Bowl. Your team was three plays in the regular season from being undefeated.
Yes.
So let's not jump out of the window and throw the baby out of the bathwater with Jimmy G. I still think he's good enough to win with. And based on how good the other areas of your team are and how young those players are, I feel like the 49ers will have chances to come in the future.
Yeah. I'm in with you, Chris. I think he is the franchise quarterback. You talk about experience. This postseason and the Super Bowl provided experience for Jimmy G. And I believe he can develop into an assassin. I mean, I remember watching Steve McNair grow into that same role as well. Not definitely a passer early in his career, but developed into that later in his career. I think Jimmy G can be that guy.
I know this probably surprised the audience. I'm in. Listen, Jimmy Garoppolo has the talent and the upside of a big-time quarterback. He just makes once or twice a game a play where you're like, what was that? But then you remind yourself he has started less than 30 career games. Mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes started more games than Jimmy Garoppolo. So do I think he's a star quarterback? No. Do I think he's a top five quarterback? No. But franchise quarterback, I think he's like the 12th best quarterback in football. I put him right neck and neck with Kirk Cousins. So yeah, that's a franchise quarterback to me. If you have the right pieces around you, you can be good enough to be up 10 points in the Super Bowl before you blow it. So yeah, I'm in.
All right, moving on for the first time in four years.
Little needle at the end there, Jimmy G.
Yeah, it was. For the first time in 4 years, the Super Bowl did not include one Tom Brady. He will spend his offseason deciding his future, with recent reports saying the Patriots are willing to offer Tom Brady over $30 million to stay in New England. Candy, you in or out on the Patriots offering Brady over $30 million.
Jenna, I'm in on it. The Patriots, let it be known. Well, Robert Kraft, the owner, let it be known.
He
would like to have
back.
Him back. But those reports also said that Bill Belichick will have the final say. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to wait and see. But I don't think we'll have to wait long. I think this thing will get resolved in the next couple of weeks. And we'll know whether Tom Brady is going to hit the market or whether he's going to re-sign in New England. But the one thing I will say is the $30 million that the Patriots are going to offer him, that's not going to be his biggest offer. There's going to be another team that's willing to go out there and pay him more money.
Yeah.
The only question would be, would Tom Brady want to go to those other organizations? I would say doubtful, which is why I think he'll be back in New England.
I'm out. I mean, the player in me, I want him to get $30 million. I think he deserves $30 million based off his resume and what he was able to do over his career, but I'm out on it. I think that Tom is... with almost 55 years old, still throwing the ball over the yard. And, you know, do you want to invest that much money into a guy that you maybe only get maybe two or three more productive years out of? And him going to, like, maybe Tennessee or Oakland, how is that going to look in terms of the overall culture. So I'm out on it.
Listen, I'm out as well. I just flatly, he's not worth $30 million in a league where its cap's $200 million, not the way he played last year. No reason to believe it'll be better. And if you're right, Canty, there's going to be a team that's going to offer him more money, then I think he's going to go to that team, because while Brady wasn't always focused on making the most money, he now clearly is willing to hijack Super Bowl week to do a Hulu commercial and promote it the day before the Super Bowl, or 2 days before the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I'm out on it being a good move for the Patriots. I'm out on Brady returning to the Patriots if they're not his highest offer.
No, he'd be getting paid for what he's done, not what he's doing.
Yeah, paying for past performance is dangerous.
Play a little drawing a blank now. The Chiefs won their first Super Bowl in 50 years yesterday, and though Patrick Mahomes won MVP, we'll let you decide. Chris Kenny, the most impressive performance in Super Bowl 54 was blank.
It was Damian Williams, and no disrespect to Super Bowl MVP Pat Mahomes, but Damian Williams went for over 130 yards from scrimmage. He had two touchdowns, including the go-ahead touchdown catch from Pat Mahomes, and then the one that he ran in as they were trying to ice the game. But the more important stat to me is 12 of his 21 touches went for first downs. So Damian Williams was a huge part of them putting together scoring drives. So I got to go with Damian Williams.
I like
Williams.
The fact he went the running back.
Show the running back some love. Still need a running back in today's game.
Yes, we do. But the most impressive performance last night was the game within the game was Nick Bosa going up against Fisher, Ohio State alum. Yes, I'm calling the home card here. Yep. It was like, what do you want me to do next? The spin, the bull rush, how do you want it? I mean, this guy was fantastic. Tip ball there, got the strip.
It was unbelievable.
It was just phenomenal. Yeah. I think he might have been, had they won, probably MVP of the game.
Had they won, he might have been, but they didn't, and you know who was the MVP of the game? The guy who led another comeback, Patrick Mahomes. Through 52 minutes, you could argue it was the worst game he's played as a pro. Through the final 8 minutes, it was as fine of a performance as anyone's had in Super Bowl history. You do that, you get a ring, you win Super Bowl MVP. That's enough. Patrick Mahomes' most impressive performance to me.
All right, well, from the winners to the losers, Jimmy G and the 49ers fell one game short of winning the franchise's sixth Lombardi Trophy. Candy, the most disappointing performance in Super Bowl 54 was blank.
It has to be Jimmy Garoppolo, because all I heard the week leading up to this game was Jimmy Garoppolo has the best QBR when trailing in the fourth quarter. He had an opportunity with 2:44 left, all his timeouts, to be able to lead a game-winning drive, and he couldn't get it done. Now, Jimmy G had moments in this game. Mm-hmm. The second and third quarter, he looked pretty good. I think at one point in this game, he was 12 of 14 for 123 yards and a touchdown when using play-action passing. But when you don't have the luxury of being able to use the play action to manipulate the coverage, and you got a straight drop back and throw the ball, Jimmy Garoppolo just couldn't deliver in those situations, and he had a terrible fourth quarter. So to me, it has to be Jimmy G.
Yeah, for me, it's Patrick Mahomes in the first half. Mm. You know, he looked rattled. He was rattled. Something I wasn't used to seeing him be in those situations, throwing the ball behind the quarterback, getting tip balls. It looked really off kilter. And I didn't know if he was going to have the ability to come back like he did the last previous 2 weeks. So the first half of Patrick Mahomes was bad for me, and I also took the over in this game, and I did not. So that's why I'm upset.
There was almost a nice little garbage time touchdown for us. If Jimmy G doesn't throw that pick, I thought they might get a touchdown. Maybe in a field goal for the push. I'm with you on that one. One of the few bets I lost. I'm going to say Kyle Shanahan. Listen, Kyle, single biggest blown lead in Super Bowl history. You got your fingerprints all over that one. Tied for the second biggest blown lead in Super Bowl history. You the head coach for that one. The end of the first half combined with up 3, 5.5 minutes left, 2nd and 5. You threw the ball twice? Really? That's what after you make it clear you don't trust your quarterback at the end of the first half, you then trust him too much late in the game. We're in 13 second half plays with the lead. You threw 9 of them? With Jimmy Garoppolo as your quarterback? It's not all on Kyle. But it ain't great, pal. Kyle Shanahan, you were the most disappointing performance for me. But really, I wasn't disappointed at all. I was thrilled with all your decisions, Kyle. Kick field goals on 4th and 2. Don't try to score before the half. I love it, Kyle.
All right. Well, with the Chiefs winning Super Bowl 54 and KC already favorites to win next year's Super Bowl as well, you could say they've got a target on their back. Chris Candy, the biggest threat to the Chiefs repeating is blank.
I'm going with the guy that won the MVP this year in Lamar Jackson, the Baltimore Ravens. They had the most wins in the regular season this year, even though they were one and done in the playoffs. I do believe the Ravens will get over that hump. Lamar Jackson will actually win a playoff game.
Gotta be
I
accurate.
Thought about throwing Deshaun Watson in there, but then I realized Bill O'Brien is still his head coach and now officially the general manager. So I'll say the Baltimore Ravens.
Man, when y'all going to respect the Titans, man? I'm going to say the biggest threat to Tennessee Titans, the team that they faced in Kansas City. They have all the elements. Derrick Henry's going to sign a huge deal this year, hopefully speaking. They have to sign him. They're going to shore up the offensive line, get some more complimentary parts offensively, get a defensive end, hopefully a cornerback, a free agency. But I think John Robinson and Mike Vrabel are a perfect marriage to get this team on the right track to have a big 2020.
Just real quick before I answer, obviously I know this, but we have some very young viewers on the show. What team did you play for?
I played for the Houston Oilers at first, then the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, okay, the Tennessee Titans. I was just making sure. I had forgotten for a moment. I think the biggest threat's the team they just played, the 49ers. If Jimmy G takes half a step forward, that's the best team in the NFC next year. The defense is young, all under contract. You've got to Kyle Shanahan, despite the late game issues, his ability to scheme guys open second to none. They have a great offensive line. As you said earlier, Canty, three plays away from being undefeated in the regular season. I think it could be a Cowboys-Bills type of situation. Run the Super Bowl back again next year. And you know what happened in those Super Bowls.
Wow.
Same team kept winning them. So, yeah, I say the 49ers are the biggest threat right now.
All right, well, with the hard part out of the way.
Nobody said the Patriots. My, how the 2020s are going to be glorious. Don't even think about the Patriots. Forget the Patriots. Ain't no threat, New England. Sorry,
He's in
Jenna.
Rare form this morning. Rare form. The Chiefs can now focus on the most important aspect of winning a Lombardi Trophy, and that is the Super Bowl parade, which will be held Wednesday in downtown Kansas City. So, Candy, the Chief you are most excited to watch at the parade, for whatever reason, is blank.
Jenna, for me, this is Travis Kelce, and I love the Beastie Boys reference in the post-game press conference, meaning that he had to fight for his right to Lombardi. I love that. I think Travis Kelce will be in rare form when they have this parade in Kansas City on Tuesday.
I'm with you on that. Travis Kelce is going to be in rare form, feeling good about life, smoking black and mild, drinking champagne.
With
his shirt off, with the Chiefs on his chest. Yeah,
that's Kelce's brother.
You know he's going to come back the fool on parade day. Absolutely. We can't wait to watch it.
Travis Kelce's a great answer. I'm going to go to the other side of the ball. Frank Clark. Man, Frank Clark been calling people out, setting bulletin board material.
He
had an unbelievable quote after the AFC Championship game. They're like, what does it mean to win this for Clark Hunt? And Clark Hunt's the owner of the team. He said, I'm going to be totally honest. I didn't really care about winning it for Clark Hunt. I want it for these guys. We did it. He's been a great quote. He has been the big addition this offseason to go along with Honey Badger, two major defensive additions. Yeah. I think he will be spectacular at a parade that Mayor Lucas, my good friend Quentin, who I grew up with, one of my best friends, who's now the youngest elected mayor of any major city in America, you're going to be at the parade. I might have to move some things around, but if you get me on one of them floats, I might take my daughter out of school and go be on that parade with y'all.
That's a great deal.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Yeah. When is it, Wednesday morning?
It's Wednesday at 11:30 Central Time, parade and rally.
Fine, I'll go with you. Don't ask me twice, though. It's getting embarrassing. Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.